baptism was so precious. And just felt the anointing of God there. And then we had an entrepreneur meeting that just hit it out of the park. Brother David just brought a good word on top of all the great things that Art has taught. And it's just gone so well. And then the party. And now we're going to go on up. We're going to continue to go up. So let's look at John 4:23. This is going to be a short word because we're actually going to move into something else here in just a little bit. But I want you to follow me, because what I'm going to teach you, I'm going to teach on this for a couple of weeks, and we're going to practice this as we go. And don't get nervous. We're not going to pick you out to have to do something. But the hour cometh, this is John 4:23. The hour cometh, and now is, say now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. So the Father seeketh such to worship him. Okay, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Okay, I have to change already. So I'm gonna tell you something, and I want to speak particular to the worship team. God is going to remove the hesitate. The hesitation is going to be removed. Where you get up there and then the hesitation is going to be removed. Now, I'm going to pick this up in the spirit. You'll get it. Well, I thought I was going to go here Sunday, but I have to do it right now. If you'll look at the Bible, it teaches you something about the glory realm. And it's in the very first verses of Genesis. If you have to look down into Jeremiah could see back and forth. He could see in eternity. He could see what happened in the past. He could see what happened in the future. When we see God entering the scene of Genesis 1:1, the earth was void and without form. But that wasn't the first of the earth. But you can't tell that till you go read Jeremiah. So God is creating a heaven and an earth here. Yes, it had been created. But what we see is in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Time, things happen. Jesus said, I saw Satan fall like lightning to the earth. Remember that? He saw that way back. Okay, so the Bible says the earth was void and without form. The Hebrew says it was tohu vabohu. It's kind of like you clean your whole house and then walk into your teenager's room. Mm-hmm. It's a mess. It's all a big mess. So the earth was a mess. So what God did was he began to create right there. But you have to look at this. You have to notice this. It said that the Holy Spirit hovered over the waters. Okay, now I just got to get this out, and then I'll do the teaching real quick. But this is prophetic, I got to tell you. The Holy Spirit's hovering over the waters. In the Hebrew, that is rakaf. He's just hovering. He's hovering. So when he hovered, God did something that he's trying to teach us to do. Hear and obey. So it came up in him, and he said, light be. Now he's light. But light represents glory. It's the glory of God. That light is the glory of God. That's what Adam and Eve were wearing. They weren't naked and then found out. They were wearing this glory suit. And so when they fell, they had to give it up because it would have burned them up, because it's God. They were totally clothed in God. Are you with me? So come back here. And what we have, my sound went down in case y'all didn't pick that up. So, this hovering, this recoffing, okay? That's the glory realm. Okay? Just for everybody that's new, the glory is the heavy, weighty presence of God. When God shows up in his glory, it's everything good. and everything's in this, but he'll bring his realm in. And when he brings that realm in, we have to get rid of our hesitation. Because the next thing you do when that realm starts to come, I'm going to use it this way. You'll be all right with it. Come down on you. I know you want me to say come up, but there's two ways. And one of them is down. And I'll explain that to you in the next few weeks. Is you want to lose the hesitation and immediately obey. Now, I'll give you an example of New Testament. The angel appeared to Mary. I know you're a virgin, but you're going to bear the Son of God. And that there's something holy that's going to come in you. And the Bible says that the Spirit of God hovered over Mary. Okay? And in Greek, it's episkiaso. And so he's hovering over her, just like mamas and daddies, okay? He's hovering over her, and what does she do? What's the first thing she does? She says what? Be it unto me according to your word. So she immediately obeyed. Yeah. In our lives, when we're in here worshiping, when we're in here believing God for the glory, and when we're out there needing answers or doing whatever it is we're going to do, you're going to find out that your life is going to start changing. You're going to lose your hesitation, and that light and life that is around you is going to begin to create miracles around you. Now that's my prophetic word to you. We are going into a realm where creative miracles will happen. But creative miracles happen when you let the glory, when the glory comes in and you don't hesitate. Okay? All right. I had to tell you that first because I wanted to obey quickly. All right, so Jesus is talking about the woman at the well here. He says, God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So they talk about several things there, the woman at the well. And you all know he has to go through bringing her to a level where she can even see in the spirit. But she does. He gets her there. And so he taught her true worship. He said this in verse 23. I'm going to read it again. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshiper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now notice now. It said now, did it? And now is. Now always updates itself. So it's all now, it's all, in other words, always going to be a good time to worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And notice it was worship Father. And then it said in spirit. And then it said in truth. Notice Father seeks such to worship him. He seeks people like that to worship him. The kind that will do it in spirit and in truth. So Father wants to be worshiped. But the question is why? I mean, does he have a big head? Is he some kind of arrogant God that needs people to worship him? This is what you need to get, church, right here. Here's the truth. The one who is worshiped can and will manifest. The one who is worshiped can and will manifest. Do you remember when Jesus went to the wilderness and the devil said, if you'll worship me? Remember that? He said, if you'll worship me, I'll give you this and I'll give you that. What's he doing? Why did he want to do that? Because if he did it, it would give the devil permission to manifest. Yes. Wow. Remember, legally, you have to have an earth suit on to have any authority in the earth. God gave the dominion to Adam. This is what half of the church doesn't know about these days. They don't understand. God gave us that authority. He gave the lease to Adam. Adam gave it to Satan. We're waiting for the lease to run out. But in the meantime, the captain of our salvation brought us back to glory and gave us, according to Ephesians 1, 2, 3, so on in there, gave us the authority, particularly 1:23, I believe it is, gave us the authority back. We are now, he's the head and we're the body, and all things are under our feet, including principalities and powers. So what we're looking at then is whoever or whatever you worship will be able to manifest in your life. Ooh, I've got a lot of good things running through my spirit here. The one who is worshiped can manifest. Now, so here's what you need to understand, church. If I worship, people can get healed. If I worship, people will have miracles. If I worship, I will prosper. Remember the story of Cliff in Hawaii? And on and on. Do you see that? You see where I'm taking you? So worship is not really something we do based on if we feel like it. Come on, church. Come on. It's not something we do that we just feel like it. Worship the Lord, because where you give your attention is where it will manifest. It's what will manifest. Whatever it is. If you worry, listen to the word worry and worship. Worship the Lord. If you give your attention to trouble and drama, you're going to have trouble and drama. That's what's going to manifest. If you give your attention to being offended, then more offense will manifest. You'll start getting offended at everybody. But see, God wants to bless. And he wants blessing flowing through you. And so he's looking for an entrance. Every kind of spirit is looking for an entrance. You are that entrance. They can't get through without you. The devil has been defeated. He can't do anything in the earth unless he gets the power of a person's mouth. Yeah, I'll say that. A revival is when individual persons get saved. But a reformation is when strongholds come down. And that's where we are. We're going into a reformation. We're going into where all the silly stuff that's been believed is going to start crumbling. And it's going to crumble because you're a shining light, because you worship God. But what does the word say? Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Light and glory, same thing here. And so we're going to see a reformation. Listen, church, it's not just going to be a, yay, we've got more people in church and they're kind of doing good. No, saved, healed, delivered. Yes. Saved, healed, delivered. Yes. Saved, healed, delivered. Yes. Saved, ready to get out of stuff that's troubled them. Whole cities are going to turn to Jesus. Whole cities are going to change. I'm telling you, there'll be whole cities. It's already happened in history. Whole cities would turn around. Bars closed down. Yeah. That wouldn't make some Christians happy these days. I'm going to leave that alone, but praise the Lord. You know what I'm saying? Probably shouldn't leave it alone, but I will. Okay. So we love our confessions, okay? I'm going to help you right here. I'm going to help you cross over into a new place. We love our confessions. But I'm going to tell you this. If you'll worship in the time of confession, the confession will actually work. Well, you know, I'm just going to say, I'm the body of Christ. Satan has no power over me. I overcome evil. That's fine if you're feeding that into your spirit. But if you're making decrees Father, thank you, Jesus. I worship you. I give you glory. I declare, Lord, I thank you, Lord, that I have the power. Thank you for this high seat of authority that you've given me. I worship you from this place. I love you, Lord. You are the object of my best affection, Lord. I love you, love you. I praise you. Just these kinds of things. And I am the body of Christ. You put yourself in another place, because when you start worshiping, manifestation starts happening immediately. So you're not just doing that out of a mental ascent. Come on, that's good. That's as good right there. That's as good right there. It's just the truth. So, see, God wants to bless that. So confession of the mind lacks power. God is a spirit, not a mind. So we come to the throne room boldly. We come to worship. It's a place of obtaining. And I don't think we all realize that. A lot of times we're just like, you know, Lord, this is Debbie and I need something. That's not the prayer to pray. And we're going to teach that Sunday morning, 9:20 to 9:40. You're going to learn how to pray. If you don't know how, if you do know how, you're going to learn better how to pray. But what we have to understand is that worship is the highest prayer. Praise and worship, the highest prayer. And it is that place of obtaining. Now, I'm going to finish up here on a couple of things, and I want you to listen to me. Brother Hagin brought light to some of this. And some of you may not have realized this, but psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. There's an area of God, of God's will, that you will not get to without psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. That's why hesitation needs to leave. I don't care if you can't carry a tune. Tune it the best you can. You know what I'm telling you. Ephesians 5:18 says, do not be drunk with wine in which is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So a psalm is a spiritual ode sung or spoken. An ode dedicated to someone. You see David doing it, right? We see David. Moses, some of the followers of Moses actually did this as well. Then a hymn is a song of praise to God. A spiritual song is something being sung that is revealed by the Spirit. It's what we call psalming a lot of times. And Deb was doing that earlier during practice. She began to just go out there and sing whatever came to her. I personally wanted to pick out the songs for tonight, so I was out mowing. And so I just started kind of lifting up to the Lord, and he sang me the songs. And I was like, okay, so we'll hit, because he sang. That's the way to do it. I don't know what we need to do. No, lifting that up. This is what we, and so you get from him what we should do. Once again, when you get from him, and you don't hesitate, you're going to move into another place. If you just, as we worship, if you'll just start worshiping from your heart, you're going to get to a new place and you're going to see something happen in the congregation. Miracles will break loose. Is everyone like, well, I'm ready for the miracles. I'm really ready for the miracles. Well, you're a part of that happening. If you're just going to go, yeah, well, this is a filler here. We'll just let the song service. This is not a song service.
No.
It's never going to be a song service at Victory Church. This is a time of you personally in your spot, not paying attention to anyone else, you worshiping God. When you get into a psalm, a hymn, or a spiritual song, what happens when you do this? Seeing and knowing takes place. You'll see and know some things. You have what we call heavenly assistance begin to happen to you. You have total access. So worship has a very significant, has a very specific significance. What is it? I told you what it was. What is the significance? Manifestation. Manifest glory. This is how we're going to hit vision part two. Manifest glory comes by worship. That's how it'll happen. Does it come by prayer? That helps, but it's in the worship that we begin to see him feel like he can come in and rock off. He can come in and hover. He can come in and you've drawn him in because you love him. You're excited about him. What did they say when the glory fell in the Old Testament? Anybody remember what they said? Hallelujah. Kitov. Kilelam hastov. In English. Hallelujah. For he is good and his mercy endures forever. That word mercy is hesed, which is loving kindness, tender, wonderful. I'm out to give you everything you want. I love you. I love you. Love. That's how God is. There's no English words for it. They just had to put mercy in there. But they said that. They would say that over and over. They would all be singing and they would just, hallelujah, ki tov, ki le'olam hasto. And they would do that and they'd get a response going. And in a minute, the Shekinah glory would just fall. Because God was welcomed into the place. This is what worship is about. This is what God wants to do. God comes where he is invited. You need to engage in the spirit. Once again, worship in truth. What does that look like? Let's just talk about that for a minute. If you worship in truth, what would that be? So you're worshiping in the spirit. I think we get that. If you worship in truth, what does that be? It's real easy. It would be that your worship would not be a lie. Your worship would not be a lie. In other words, and we can just get through this. I'm thinking about how I need to go put up my groceries when I get home and we'll get, That's a lie. The truth is dropped down in your heart. Jesus, thank you for the blood. The blood is so dear to the heart of the Father. And I thank you that the blood is so connected to the glory realm. And I praise you for it. And I thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, that you gave your son. It's a gratefulness. It's a worship. Holy Spirit immediately starts moving on me when I start worshiping. Amen. When you sing the songs, we're going to sing the goodness of God. I don't know that I've ever sang it that the Holy Spirit didn't start ministering. That's who he is. And when he starts singing about who he is, he shows up. He manifests. Okay? So you need to engage in the spirit, not in your mind. And because he is a spirit, we come to him in spirit. We worship him not in what you're facing. It's not what this is about. That can come down the line. It's okay to talk to God about what you're facing, but you got to do it in the right place. Come to him. You don't come with the circumstance. Come on, church.
Yeah.
I know sometimes you feel desperate. But just stop and think about this. The God of the universe is your daddy. He's your daddy. The God of the universe. And he is the king of the universe. You know, in England, Deb and I are always interested in all the royals. We've watched all the shows and everything. And in English royalty, you could be blood related, the next one to the throne. But you bowed to the king.
That's right.
But then behind closed doors, you could run up and jump in daddy's lap. So there's a level there where we're familiar with him. He's our friend. He's our daddy. But he's also the one to be lifted up.
Right.
Amen. Y'all receive this tonight? You come to him, not with the circumstance. You come with truth in your mouth, worshiping him with truth. Then lay that truth, listen to me, lay that truth on the circumstances. Got it? The truth is you're healed. The truth is you're prosperous. The truth is you're out of debt. And you've just been worshiping the one who got you that way, and he's manifesting, and then you can just take that and lay that right on top of whatever your situation is, and it'll be taken care of. I'm telling you, it is time. We're going to talk about creative miracles on Sunday, and we're going to have creative miracles. Just remember, God is unchangeable. And what we need to know, are you still listening to me? We have to get skillful in this, church. We have to get skillful because you could endanger yourself if you don't learn how to do it right, if we're not skillful. So you don't ever go against something without skill. Football players don't go out without having learned something. You're going to have to know what to do. You have to have skill to do this. But we're going to spend from now until the Christmas season making sure that you have all the skills you need to operate with the Spirit of God. Amen.